Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, we're coming to the end of our three holidays, if you're a Jew, and if you're Jewish, if you're following biblical Old Testament holidays, the end of the kind of three holidays that happen in the fall, beginning with Rosh Hashanah. We've done podcasts on that. Yom Kippur, which is a it's the most extremely solemn day in the calendar for the Jewish year. And now we're coming into Sukkot. So I want to just introduce Sukkot to you. I think it's important for us to know as Christians, and also talk then at the end about how where Sukkot played a part in the life of Jesus, and how Jesus is the fulfillment of Sukkot. So let's take a look, first of all, at the scriptures, beginning in Leviticus chapter 23. We'll introduce these fall holidays again in case you missed some of the earlier podcasts. Leviticus 23, verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's festival of tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days." So again, we've already gone through Rosh Hashanah on the first day of the seventh month. That lasts, and then the 10th day is Yom Kippur, and now we have the 15th day, the festival of tabernacles begins, Sukkot, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly, do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly, do no regular work. We're going to see it's the most important day of Sukkot. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing food offerings to the Lord. Burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, and drink offerings are required for each day. So when a food offering is brought, by the way, some of the kind of food offerings that there are at the temple when the temple was in existence involved communal meals, like Thanksgiving meals. And so Sukkot has a lot of meals each day, as we'll see. It's just a wonderful, enjoyable festival week. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbaths, and in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all the freewill offerings you give to the Lord. So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you've gathered the crops of the land, which is it's a harvest festival, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest, and the 8th day is also a day of Sabbath rest. And of course, that week usually includes a Sabbath, so you have another day of Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters. So your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And so Moses announced to the Israelites the appointed festivals of the Lord. So, one of the people say, well, how did the Jews last so long as a people for thousands of years, despite all the persecutions, all the diaspora living all around the world? Their identity as Jews is just so ingrained. Well, they're ingrained in part because of all of the festivals that they have, all of the celebrations they have as a community that bring them together and that are prescribed to be celebrated in certain ways. And so your identity is strong. Think about if we as Americans celebrated Memorial Day the way it was supposed to be celebrated, I think, celebrated Veterans Day the way it was supposed to be celebrated. We kind of celebrate July 4th. That's kind of the big American holiday. But what about these other holidays? If we celebrated all these holidays in the way they're supposed to be celebrated periodically throughout the year, we'd perhaps have a much stronger identity as Americans. And so the Jews have that. They celebrate these festivals. This is a week-long festival. They're celebrating every day for a week with parties and celebrations and living in Sukkot and tabernacles. We'll see this in a moment. We'll see some examples of this. But this is a big deal. And the last day Some rabbis have said if you haven't experienced the joy of the last day of Sukkot, you've never experienced true joy. So, or something like that, the quote goes. So just a great festival. There's lots of opportunities on other YouTube channels to find out more about Sukkot, and I wanted to share with you from kappa.org. So let's take a look at this for a second, if we would.
Walk down the streets of Jerusalem, Brooklyn, or Bozeman, Montana, and you'll notice something similar. Small huts with plant roofs and Jews with rather interesting bouquets in their hand. They're celebrating Sukkot, a major Jewish holiday, one of the three pilgrimage festivals, along with Passover and Shavuot. On the one hand, it's one of the most visible Jewish holidays, but not everyone knows that much about it. Ready to get a close-up, zoomed-in, front-seat view of Sukkot? Let's go. The holiday of Sukkot starts 5 days after Yom Kippur, on the 15th day of Tishrei. It has two major unique observances. For the duration of the holiday, we eat our meals and generally spend our time in a sukkah, a shelter with a roof made of unprocessed plants that were harvested from the ground, like corn stalks, evergreen branches, or bamboo sticks. Why? This is the season when we harvest all that grew during the winter rainy season, dried out in the sunny summer days, and is now ready to be brought into the home. So we cover the sukkah, which means shelter, by the way, with harvested materials. The reason for the sukkah shelter is that God sheltered our ancestors with the protective clouds of glory when he led them through the desert on their way from Egypt to the Holy Land. So we can think of the sukkah like a big hug, a kind of I love you note from God to the Jewish people after all the personal work we did during the days of awe, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Sukkot has another unique mitzvah called the Arba, meaning the four species. We grasp four different plant species in our hand: an etrog, a citron fruit; a lulav, a palm frond; hadassim, at least three myrtle twigs; aravot, two willows. Often this mitzvah is referred to by just the first two of the species, the lulav and etrog, or sometimes it's just called a lulav. No matter what you call it, the mitzvah is to hold them all together. Every day of Sukkot, except for Shabbat, we do the mitzvah of taking the lulav and etrog. First we say a special blessing, and then gently wave these four species in all six directions. In some traditions, we do south, north, east, up, down, and west, indicating the unity of all directions. Unity is a common theme for Sukkot. The four species represent Jews of all stripes: the activists, the scholars, the scholar activists, and the Jew who is special just for being a Jew. And the sukkah? It surrounds us all from head to toe, uniting each and every one of us together under its patchy roof. So, how long does this celebration last? The first day, actually the first 2 days in the diaspora, is Yom Tov, a holiday, almost like Shabbat. We don't work, we light candles, say special prayers, and we enjoy delicious meals in the sukkah. The next days are Chol Hamoed, intermediate days, when work restrictions are relaxed, but we still make sure to enjoy fine meals in the sukkah, wave the lulav, take off from work, and have a joyous time. They then lead directly into the eighth day, the uber joyous holiday of Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, which is probably the most joy-filled time on the Jewish calendar, when Jews take the Torah and dance with it joyously. I just use the word joy a lot. In fact, joy is a major component of this holiday, the season of our rejoicing. In temple times, there would be juggling, singing, and dancing lasting all night, every night, for this entire week. And many communities continue the practice today, taking the existential joy of being a Jew to the streets. In temple times, the celebration was centered around a unique ritual in which water was drawn from a spring outside of Jerusalem and poured onto the altar. This signaled our prayerful wishes for another year of nourishing and life-giving rain. The celebration was so intense that the sages declared anyone who did not see the joy of the water drawing never saw joy in his life. Now, what is so happy about water? Nothing! And that's just the point. Sometimes we need to celebrate the things that are so true and run so deep that they have no color, no taste, and no smell, just like water. And like water, it's what gives spiritual life to everything that happens in our lives. Here's to a super happy Sukkot.
All right, so that is from a Jewish organization, and it's Chabad.org tries to help non-Jews understand some of the practices of Judaism. So it's not from a Jesus perspective. I want to point out a couple of things that were said there, and I chose that specifically for these couple of things. One is the water. We'll start where it ended with the water, and the water festival, the drawing of water, and how that is so central to the festival of Sukkot. If you look in John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, this is the festival of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood on the crowd and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. All right, now and then it continues on from there. But do you catch what Jesus is doing there? The last and greatest day of the festival is Simchat Torah, the last day of Sukkot. And Jesus, because of this water drawing and the joy that surrounds it, stands up in the crowd and says, "I'm the fulfillment of this practice of drawing water during Sukkot. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and streams of living water will flow from within." So again, how Jesus uses the simple things of everyday life to point to himself. Of course, let's talk for just a second about Simchat Torah, which is the day that Jesus said these words on John 7, verse 37. 38. It's called Simchat Torah. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you or not in modern history, but on October the 7th of 2023, that day was Simchat Torah. It was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles of Sukkot. And on October 7th, the festival of joy, the highest, most joyous day, where the sages said, if you haven't seen this, you haven't experienced true joy. That was the day that Hamas chose to invade Israel and to slaughter over 1,000 Jews and carry hundreds others off into captivity. Not only Jews, but other nationalities living along the Gaza envelope, along the border with Gaza there in Israel. That was the day that they chose, Simchat Torah, October 7th, 2023. But back to our Jesus application. The tabernacle is given to God's people that week. They are to construct it to remind themselves of God's provision for them in the wilderness. As they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, God provided a covering for them. God provided a home for them in the wilderness when there was no home to be had. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of that great promise of God, that when all else fails, Jesus is there. He is our rock. He is our shelter against the storms of life. It is Jesus. And that's how Jesus fulfills Sukkot, both in the water passage from John chapter 7, where he is the water of life. Remember, he says that to the woman at the well in Samaria, although we don't know what day that was. There's no indication in John chapter 4 that when Jesus is interacting with the woman at the well in Samaria, that it is in any way related to Sukkot. But nevertheless, Jesus talks about how he is the water of life, that water image in Scripture. And so you have the water image, and you have this sense that Jesus is our covering. He's our shelter that we run to when the storms of life come. And he will provide for us always. He will be there to be our shelter and a place where we can dwell securely under the shadow of his wings. So that is how Jesus fulfills Sukkot for us. And in this time, as Jewish friends and neighbors, co-workers, maybe celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, it gives us hopefully an opportunity to know what's going on in their life, to be able to empathize with them in these days as they remember what happened in modern times on Simchat Torah, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and also perhaps be able to share with them how Jesus celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 7. Might be an opening for us. Take it if the opportunity arises and if God's Spirit leads in that way for a gentle witness about Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, for not only us, but for Jews as well. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. We want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you might have learned in the podcast, how you might have grown in faith, and encourage us with other opportunities that you might like to see us talk about, other things you might like to see us discuss on the podcast. Remember that those who hope in the Lord, as Isaiah says, will fly on wings like eagles. And that's our prayer. That's our trust in God, that He is a faithful God and will fulfill that promise to us always. Thanks for listening to the podcast.